ages and the humans quickly establishes a new deadlock. Unfortunately, the spores aren't done with their surprises. Shouldering aside a pair of poisonous fraxen, a silver steel creature charges forward. Beams of light bounce off its body, doing little damage and adding to the confusion of battle. Even as I target it, another of the oversized bugs appears, then another. Explosive projectiles do damage, splitting open the armored hide, but a single gun isn't enough. Even as the humans recover, the creatures bear down on us. Almost, I trigger my missiles. Almost. Before I can, rock spears rise up, impaling monsters and hindering their approach. It buys us a few moments, enough time for the mages to send a breeze in to clear out some of the fumes and for the rest of the humans to get their gear on. Even the Yerrik finally take time to fully gear up, slapping on a small triangular patch that sets up a low-level repelling field. I make a mental note to look into that in the future as I lob a fireball into the cavern. Veer moves from group to group, shifting our fields of fire so that each section has a mix of firepower, beams, and projectiles, smashing into whatever monster decides to show its face. As the rock spears get broken down by the behemoth Fraxen, more are thrown up by the mages behind us. A few quick additions of fast-set glue grenades turns the new bodies into a new obstacle the Fraxen have to fight through, which gives us time to rest and recover. Our front covered, I glance at my map and screens to see how things are going in the other locations and flinch. I forcibly make myself hold still, even as I watch the red dots overwhelm the friendly blues in the corridor. Not just any blues. Those dots contain Lana, Richard, and Makito. Behind us, Aaron and Labashi's timely intervention has driven back the monsters long enough at least for the backline to recover.
"Trust in them, John," Ali says.
I nod dumbly. Even if I took off right this second, I'd be minutes away from the group. Long minutes, when the Fraxen could finish them. I just have to trust that my friends can handle themselves. I watch the mini-map and the sudden disappearance of a large number of red dots, then the reformation of the blue line farther back. "They're retreating," I mutter, staring at the map. Ali offers a nod of confirmation. The blue dots don't stop backing off even when the line reforms, the red dots surging forward constantly as my teammates lay down withering fire. I glance backward as Veer calls for the mages to take a break and give their mana a rest. I have a moment to contemplate the sight of Capstan in huddled conversation with Labashi before I have to start shooting again. I've spent enough time with the Yerrik by now to be able to tell that he's worried. The introduction of the two new types of Fraxen is forcing us to drain our ammo, stamina, and mana at an even greater rate. Even with potions to increase the last two, strained and worried looks have begun to creep onto the human faces. The Hakarta are impossible to read under their masks, but even the Yerrik occasionally seem nervous. We've been fighting nonstop for hours, and the monsters just keep coming. 5, 10 minutes, and the Fraxen shift tactics again. Instead of sending a single type of monster at us, the spores mix it up, sending groups. This makes no difference, really, as we concentrate on our firing lines, focusing on killing the ones in our field of fire rather than what they are. A part of me is thankful for the experienced fighters here. Otherwise, we might just have fallen for the change. Equilibrium is achieved again, at least on the front lines. I've switched back to my rifle when I can, letting Saber reload the projectile rifle during much-needed breaks and pulling additional ammunition from my altered space for Saber. When I can, I flick my gaze back and forth between the front lines, my companions, and the map. Equilibrium on the front lines, but not in our fast-draining mana and ammunition. The first cry comes from one of the Yerrik, a snarling, "I'm out!" A moment later, his cry is echoed by a human, then another as guns fall silent. Veer snaps an order, and the mages with earth spells throw up a temporary blockade, buying us more time at the cost of their mana. We use it to reconfigure the front lines, staggering between melee and ranged fighters and the mages. I can see the rearguard doing the same thing while my friends continue to retreat toward us at a glacially slow pace. They're still too far away to talk to them directly or view them via our drones.
"Ali, how are we doing?" I ask.
"Not good. Drones are mostly drained, but the few we've got around here aren't exactly seeing an end to these groups," he announces just before Capstan calls me over.
I follow and find Bill's raven-haired, shadowy friend and Veer there, too.
You're pushing us too hard. Take a few minutes.
Then we're going with Plan F, Capstan announces. I grimace.
Plan F for final run. It's a Hail Mary plan, one that we cooked up for use when and if the spores and Fraxen pushed us too hard. The three of us each have our own ways of getting through the hordes ahead. The plan is simple. While the others hold the monsters back, we'll rush in as far as we can, hoping to find and kill the boss. That bad?
Yes. We're down to 30% of our reserves,
Labashi clarifies, and I grimace. I knew things were getting bad, but I hadn't realized it was that bad. That's the strange part of this fight. As hard as we're being pushed, no one has died on our lines so far, and no one has stayed injured for long. Our unnatural healing and the spells keep us in top fighting form, but that only lasts so long as we have enough ammo and mana. Once we're out, the end comes soon after.
We're uploading the latest scans from the drone stew now,
Capstan adds.
May the stars guide your way.
Ali frowns, staring at the new information. He tilts his head as I walk to the side and pop open my helmet to scarf down some food.
I'm heading out first. I can't get too far ahead of you, but if I push the edges, I might be able to lead you to the boss.
Good idea, I reply, chewing rapidly. Ali floats a bit away, then stops, shifting on his feet a bit before he finally speaks.
Take care, boyo.
Ali floats away before I can reply. I shake my head slightly, smiling grimly before glancing at the other two. They're getting ready, stretching in the lady's case and downing potion after potion in Veer's. I flicker a smile at that, his actions reminding me to take the potions I've reserved. These are the best regeneration boosters that Sally supplied.
Ready?
Capstan rumbles. We offer him a nod, standing up and facing the corridor. Last chance, last run. Damn.
Plan F. Cover fire on 3, 2, 1, now!
Roars Capstan. He raises his own axe cannon, letting loose the blast he was charging while he was speaking. His fire is joined by the mages who have been holding back, vortex of destructive firepower ripping through the monsters that face us. The moment the fire slackens, the three of us are sprinting forward. Covering fire from the sides flashes past us as guided weaponry and spells slam into still-living Fraxen within the corridor, giving us a short few hundred meters of clear space. As we reach the first curve in the tunnel, we can see the Fraxen boiling out of the corner. Veer's ahead of us all, and he flashes forward, exploding into a white mist that floats through the group. His progress slows down significantly in that form, but they can't touch him. Behind him, I jump and kick off a Fraxen, my powered armor smashing the monster into the ground before I throw myself into a roll as I crash into the swarm. Even as I smash and bounce, I'm triggering the QSM and recovering on ultra-dimensional ground. A moment later, I watch as Bill's assassin rogue friend turns into a literal shadow and disappears into the darkness. On my minimap, I see Ali dashing ahead as fast as he can, as he spots new and interesting monsters and my map gets updated before they disappear again as he leaves their presence. Still, it's enough to let me know how much trouble we really are in. The swarm just doesn't seem to ever end. I keep sprinting, my companions lost as we each make our way through the swarm. Powerful as these skills or technological toys are, they all have their own timers. The moment they run out, if we're still in the swarm, we'll shrivel up like a plastic bag in flames. Our only hope is speed. I thunder down the passageways, running through shadowy Fraxen until I see something that makes me pause. I don't think. I just hammer the switch and flip back into reality, making sure I don't pop into anything too dense when I shift back. I'm already programming the drone, sending it winging back as I land and spin, using the built-up momentum to open up the Fraxen I spotted from abdomen to leg. It's a monster of a creature. 3/4 the size of the entire passageway itself, and its armor is so tough that without the added levels of my soulbound sword, I probably couldn't even scratch it. The Fraxen are slow to react, their senses scrambled by the illness, so I have a few moments to lay into the creature in peace. A few moments to tear a chunk into the creature's body, and a few moments more to pull a grenade to plant in its body. The moment my hand is inside it, and I've let go of the grenade, I trigger the QSM. I run through the creature. 3 seconds, barely enough time to get away before the explosion contained in the monster ripples outward. It buys the drone and my friends a few moments, since the Fraxon will have to move the corpse. A few moments to get ready for the other 3 titanic Fraxon behind it. I don't have time to keep up this fight. In fact, draining the QSM to pop in and out like that might have been a bad idea. Ahead, the tunnel splits and I take the right turn. It's the direction that Ollie went. Even as I run, I unleash a lightning bolt, the energy from the spell scarring the walls. I can only hope that it's a good enough indication for Veer and Shadow Girl to avoid this tunnel. 4 minutes into QSM with barely 30 seconds left, and I finally pass the last of the Fraxon. I dash past them all and the cavern they stream from, then I slide to a stop behind cover. Marginally hidden as I am, I kill the system, shifting over into my own dimension. I breathe raggedly, pulling in pure oxygen from Saber's tanks as I recover, hoping that I'm hidden enough. I have to be. I don't have any other choice. Tucked in the corner as I am, the only sense I can rely on is my hearing. I find myself straining to hear something, anything that might tell me if I made it. The drip of water, the skittering of insects and spiders, and the far-off tromp of Fraxon are all that I sense. No sign of pursuit, no sign of my friends. I slowly exhale, pushing away from my hiding spot and head deeper, following the trail Ali blazed. I can only hope that the others are doing their job and searching for the boss, too.
Boyo, take the right. Dead end here.
I nod to Ali's instructions, though he can't see me, doing as he says when I reach the split. I can see Ali flying back from the cavern that dead-ended on him, eager to catch up and take back his scouting duties. I can't wait for him, knowing that my friends are fighting with everything they've got behind me. I can't hear them or see them. Even the updates to my map has stopped, but I know we're running out of time. Time. I'm constantly fighting against it. I pick up the pace, dodging the occasional Fraxon I spot curled up in a corner or wandering around, too sick to be controlled by the spores. I'm moving so fast that I barely notice the immobile Fraxon that comes alive the moment I bound over it. Scouts? Or guards? Whatever the case, they know I'm here. On the other hand, guards probably mean I'm on the right track. I keep an eye out for more as I run, dodging from side to side as the Fraxon behind me spits out bolts of destructive light. I turn the corner, finding myself hoping to run into more trouble. Trouble would be good. My perverse desires rewarded in a few minutes with another sighting. A trio of Fraxon that lie in wait. Their reactions are staggered, not coordinated, which is all that allows me to dodge through the barrage that opens up. The trick to actually dodging faster than sound attacks isn't to dodge the attacks themselves, but to forecast and dodge around where they will fire. Bodies rise, mouths open, and glinting teeth reflect the building charge. I just make sure I'm never where they're pointing. It's a calculation I could never have made as a non-system registered human, but with my upgraded abilities, it seems trivial, at least against 3 of these monsters. I draw and send out a blade slash, the brilliant line of force slashing open the Fraxon as I near them. I take a few moments to finish them off, figuring that I'd better deal with stragglers now rather than later. As it stands, I have a feeling I'm close. Ali, can you find the others?
Maybe. Don't you want me with you, boyo?
The spirit replies. I shake my head. No. If you can get them, or get close enough to get a message to them, that'd be better. Never know what kind of trouble I'll run into, and this looks like the way to the boss. Left unsaid is the fact that if I fail, we need one of the others to succeed. Down the hallway, as I close in on the upcoming cavern, my eyes widen. I guess they held back a couple dozen. I snarl, skidding to a stop. The sudden eruption of acid blobs, plasma bolts, and beams tell me that my arrival was expected. Crouching out of sight, I draw forth grenades and toss them in, one after the other. I'm sure the spores will send the Fraxon to me eventually, once they realize what's happening, but it'll take time for them to figure it out, and even more time to send the commands to the sick creatures. Time I can use to whittle down my opponents. Explosions ripple outward from the cavern as I sling grenade after grenade, explosions and disappearing red dots telling the tale to me. Unfortunately, I can't kill enough of them before they're on me, trundling up the slight slope of the cavern to enter the passageway. I find myself fighting in the middle of a swarm again, swords spinning and cutting, moving from one hand to another as I cut, kick, and punch my way through the monsters. I know better than to hold still, so I dance into their midst. Blasts of plasma and globs of acid fly all around me. Pincers glance off my armor and add to my momentum. Don't stop. Don't ever stop. I find myself through the group, a pair of grenades in hand. I flip them into the center of the swarming mass, the resulting explosion barely muffled by the press of bodies. I hop backward, raising my rifle and spraying the remaining monsters on full auto, dumping the entire magazine into them in a few seconds. I land, sword appearing in hand to deflect a spike of stone as I scan my opponents. Only a half dozen left, most of them pretty damaged. I flex my legs, dashing forward to finish this. Time to get rid of these minnows. Finding the boss Fraxen, and hopefully the core of the spore mind, is easy after that. There's only one passageway from here. As I sneak forward, I wonder how bad this is going to be. Well, at least I know why the spores haven't gotten much more active and spreading themselves. The boss Fraxen is so big, there's no way it could fit through the passageways. Of course, that also explains why the spores have gotten so smart, if they've taken over that as their overmind's body. 8 legs, a double pair of pincers that fit over its bulbous body, 3 stingers, and more teeth than I have bullets make up the reddish-brown monster. Scrambling around it are more Fraxen, maybe a dozen, that are each about double the size of a normal creature. And clustered around those are another score of smaller Fraxen, a mix of glowing green, red, and purple stingers, indicating a slew of nasty ranged options. The fact that half the Fraxen are watching my passageway and the other half are looking to my left has me giving the cavern a more thorough investigation. A moment later, I realize why. There's another entrance that way. Smaller, tighter, and more exposed than mine, but definitely another way in. I draw a deep breath, exhaling as my mind runs. This is bad. This is more than I can handle. Certainly the boss is a lot bigger than I ever expected. This is something I'd want my whole party to tackle. On the other hand, it's not as if there's anyone else here to help me. If I want it dead, I'm going to have to do it. Biting my lip, I start planning. Chapter 22. 5 minutes later, I'm done. First step was to set up a few sensors down the way I came to ensure I have some warning when the monsters come for me. Sure, I could theoretically spot it in my mini-map, but if I'm in the middle of a fight, I don't want to count on that. Second step is to split their forces. No reason to try to fight all of them, not if I can help it. I tap into my altered space, grab the guns I stored there, and set them up quickly, along with more claymore mines, in 2 separate locations. I then push them outward and flick their targeting software on, watching as they spew fire at the monsters beneath me. I back off from the ledge and around cover as return fire comes in short order. The guns last all of a few seconds before they get blown to pieces, which is the main reason why we didn't even bother setting them up for the swarm. However, they do what I wanted, which is attract attention and drag the Fraxen to me. They come, but they come in force, nearly half the group that was watching my passageway rushing in. I cast Polar Wind immediately, the spell freezing and slowing the monsters as they trundle forward. It does very little damage, unlike the high-explosive projectiles I unleash next, but it buys me time and, more importantly, bunches them up. When the Vanguard is past the immediate blast area, I trigger the claymores. Only 2/3 of the claymores go off, unfortunately. It seems they aren't rated to handle the intense cold brought about by my spell. pressurized air and thousands of ball bearings spin outward, confined in the passageways, so that even those that miss on the first pass have a second, third, and even fourth chance to kill and damage. Of course, even backed off as I am, I get smashed by a few too. But Saber's armor is more than sufficient to take the bounce backs with little additional damage. Once the explosion dies down a little, I wade into the group, cutting and chopping and firing into open wounds. Fun fact, screwed up system-enabled world or not, you can still do more damage by shooting into exposed wounds than you can just shooting indiscriminately. Of course, it isn't that easy. The Fraxan champions are true monsters, big and tough, and even injured, they put up a good fight. At the end of it, I'm limping and Saber's down to 82% integrity. As my bullets get reloaded, I cast a quick healing to speed up the recovery process for myself. Stage two done, I poke my head around the corner carefully before pulling back as shots come within seconds. It's enough to let me know that not much has changed, other than a redistribution of the monsters inside. I scurry to the side, then poke my head out again, noting they aren't coming up. My precautions are of little use as the boss decides to let loose a blast from its stinger. The explosion throws me into the wall and backward down the corridor. I groan, seeing the flashing damage icons. Stage three it is, then. I wish I could say I have a brilliant, mind-shatteringly smart idea. I don't. I don't even have a particularly good idea. All I have is a bunch of explosives, my spells, and the need to finish this off. I take a running start, crossing the ground to the entrance of the cavern as Fraxan continue to lob attacks at it occasionally. As I near, I blink step into the air, bypassing the additional reflexive fire that comes at where I should be if I exited normally. This gives me more than enough time to launch my first set of missiles into the gathered Fraxan, and I watch the missiles throw up flame, dirt, and blood below me. Even as I land, I'm casting polar wind with one hand and snatching smoke grenades to toss onto the ground with the other. As I sprint to the side, I keep my head swiveling, tagging monsters in my display with a thought as I keep dropping the temperature via polar wind. I have to keep them on their toes, keep rocking them with sudden changes and new tactics so that I can fight them piecemeal and whittle them down. As the smoke grenades begin to fill the air, I add my last additional toy to the battle, high-tech white phosphorus grenades. I throw the self-propelled grenades into the air where they split apart, each separate portion tracking their pre-selected targets. The portions attach before igniting the phosphorus and directing the burning substance into the creatures at 2,760 degrees Celsius, or about half the surface temperature of the sun. The Fraxan go crazy, the incendiaries burning through their chitin and ticking down their health. Of course, the system does reduce the amount of actual physical damage based off their health points, but pain is the major goal here. Instinct makes me trigger blink step, and not a moment too soon, as the boss's stinger smashes into the column of stone I was hiding behind. As I reappear, I spin around and trigger my rifle, going full auto into the creature's side. The boss is a weird image of wireframe outlines, infrared shading, and normal vision as my helmet compensates for reduced visibility. I'm targeting a single spot, just below the second pair of legs where the creature's heart is. If I can chew through enough of its armor, I just might be able to do some real damage. My heart thuds faster, my breathing shortening slightly as I recall the stinger, but I don't have time. I keep moving, opening fire with rifle and missiles, leaving my sword to cut and slice monsters as I dance through the cavern, always trying to keep my target in sight. Occasionally, I toss a sticky grenade at a monster that nears me, capturing and locking it in place. Unfortunately, I forget I'm fighting a thinking creature and my movements are too predictable. As I lop off the leg of a champion Fraxan, the boss's pincer catches me and throws me into a wall. It's only the reduced visibility and its sickness that makes the boss's next swing mostly miss, the pincer smashing into my upper left side and crushing Saber's shield, sending me careening off in a different direction. Lucky for me, otherwise the follow-up blast from the other stinger might have finished me off. My ears are ringing and I can taste blood as I slowly look up. The Fraxan boss isn't stopping, though, rushing toward me as I stagger to my feet. I need time. So I slap on my mana shield, just in time for one of the plasma fraxen's blasts to be caught on it. I trigger blink step again, wincing as my mana pool drops once more. A glance at the boss fraxen is all I need to tell me that this isn't working. Fighting a monster like this head-on was a vain hope, but it's not as if I had a choice. Somewhere back there, my friends are fighting, maybe dying. I have to finish this. Of course, wishing something will happen doesn't mean that it will, and all I've got right now is a lot of wishes and dreams. Running to the side, sword slashing out against the monsters, I stare at the blinking icons indicating that I've loaded everything I have. Once I shoot this, I'm done. Then I'm down to hacking and cutting at the boss.
Keep it busy for another minute, boyo.
Ollie's dry tone almost makes me shout in joy. I nod, thinking a confirmation as I switch directions, running straight into the incoming pair of champion fraxen. I catch one of their stingers on the sword, spin around with its momentum to help me dodge the second, then blink step away as the blast from the boss's stinger turns the champions into so much crispy meat. A wave front of the blast catches me, tossing me to the ground. I roll with it and spin up, loosing a short burst that tears open the ends of the acid fraxen rearing above me. The warning lights blink as the damn acid eats into Saber, but I'm up and running again. I trigger blink step, watching my mana plunge as I flicker to a spot that gives me a view of the boss monster. Or will, I hope, as I fire the missiles. The monster spins just like I figured it would. Or perhaps I should say its reactions to my previous actions are predictable. Either way, it puts itself perfectly in position to receive the full load of mini-missiles into its side, each tiny guided package impacting and ripping deeper and deeper into the boss's torso. In anger, the monster swings down a pincer to crush me, and I don't have time to dodge. Instead, I conjure my sword and take the blow on it, gripping the blade with my other armored hand as the weight of the monster bears down on me. Power-assisted knees buckle, and pain shoots up my thighs as I crumple, the too sharp edge of my blade having cut through the monster's chitin such that the rest of the pincer smashes into me. Oops. Warning lights shriek all around me, and I whimper slightly, the ringing in my head having gotten so much worse. My sword, still embedded in the pincer, gets taken into the air as the monster withdraws its appendage, leaving me in a crumpled camel pose. I watch in slow motion as the monster aims its glowing, beam-casting stinger at me, even as I attempt to scramble away. The explosion of light and sound that comes from the side catches both of us by surprise. A red beam of light with twisting green and white streams erupts from the second entrance, smashing into the creature with such force that its own beam is jerked aside and played across a trio of unlucky fraxen charging toward me. I stumble to my feet as the maelstrom of energy digs into the monster's side and tears off a stinger and two legs, ripping a giant hole in the boss's body. The legs flop to the ground, still twitching as blood spills in a waterfall, just like the boss's health bar. The beam adjusts and continues to burn through the monster. A bare fifth of its health is all that's left when the beam finally stops, but the boss is still standing. I snarl, dodging to the side as a champion fraxen staggers up to me. I recall my sword, cut at its pincers, and when a chance comes, I call up Cleave to help shear off a pincer entirely. I do all this while my brain switches to overdrive, trying to figure out what other options we have left. Ollie, who was that, and can they do it again? I find myself mentally shouting as I work to finish off this monster.
Veer and no can do. He's tapped. Whoops! Sorry, those beams can hurt even me. Got to do some dodging here. He's switching over to his guns, but that ain't going to cut it.
I grunt, stabbing my sword directly into the monster's mouth. Shadow Girl?
The assassin? No idea. I haven't seen her.
Shit. If she doesn't find her way here herself, there's no way Ollie can find her and make it back in time. It's a minor miracle he found Veer. Too busy paying attention to my talk, I move just a little too slow and the damn fraxen chomps down on my arm. It compresses the armor around me, grinding away, and I snarl, summoning and casting mana darts directly down its guts. The champion shudders, tossing me aside with a reflexive twitch that has me landing on my side and rolling for a few seconds. I use a nearby stalagmite to pull myself up, grimacing as I flex my hand. Thankfully, the boss, along with the majority of the surviving monsters, is busy making Veer's life miserable. The smoke has dissipated enough that the creatures are finding me faster and faster now. On the other hand, at least the bugger who decided to try to eat me is dead. Mana darts down its throat was enough to make it choke to death. I blink, staring at the boss. I have a way to finish this. It just requires I do something utterly insane. Well, that's not new.
Oi! Big boy!
I shout, using the mecha's inbuilt speakers to make sure I'm heard. The boss hesitates, so I use a few blade strikes to drag its attention to me again, targeting the open wound I was working on.
That's right! Right here, stupid!
The boss finally turns to me, beam stinger swinging around to aim at me. A targeted blast by Veer catches it as it begins to charge up, forcing it to aim higher. I don't waste any more time, dashing forward to the creature's body. One thing about it being so big, there are dead zones where its own pincers can't target, if you can get close enough. I run ahead, letting loose with the last of my projectile ammo as I do so, and carefully watch for the attack I know will come. When the pincer swings, I blink forward to where I should be safe. Then I open up with another blade strike, targeting the softer, less armored underside. Not good enough to kill it, but it certainly angers the monster. Anger is good. It lets you push through pain and obstacles that you couldn't otherwise, but it also blinds you, clouds your judgment, and makes you take the easiest, most instinctive choice. I can't be hit by the pincers, but I'm close enough to bite, so it does.
No!
Ali screams as I stand still, letting the mouth close in on me. At the last minute, I kick off the ground and jump directly into its mouth, throwing myself as deep as I can get to bypass as much of the teeth as possible. I make it most of the way, my foot catching and ripping itself apart on the back row of teeth. It's very dark in here. Dark and squishy. I'm entirely grateful that I can neither smell nor truly feel what is happening to me, thanks to Saber and the soul shield I've turned on. On the other hand, the boss, having eaten me, has decided to swallow. I find myself thrown to the back of its throat, and only a hastily dug-in sword to its larynx stops me from sliding all the way in. It takes a little scrambling and a lot of hard pushing, but I find myself lodged just above the creature's esophagus. Still, can't let it go hungry. I drop the first of the sticky grenades I have left down its throat, ignoring the screaming alarm bells and the increased pressure on me as the boss swings its head around, trying to dislodge me. The grenade goes off, coating the inside of its throat. It explodes below where I wanted it to go off, but that's okay. I've got more coming. Before I started this insane plan, I spent a few moments running around the cavern, grabbing bodies and rocks and stuffing it all into my altered space. Now, I let it loose, along with everything else I've got stored in there. My tent, drone pieces, armor replacements for Saber, tent pegs and hammocks, my dinner, everything in my altered space gets dropped down its throat, interspersed with the occasional sticky grenade. The boss keeps reflexively swallowing, attempting to dislodge me and get its breathing back, but I refuse, continually working on clogging up its throat and thus its airway. My soul shield finally blinks out, and I don't have enough mana to throw up another. The boss swallows again, and the muscles in its throat clench, sending pain through my body as Saber compresses and begins to redline. That's it, then. That's all I can do. I rip downward with my sword, opening up the wound in its mouth. Then I trigger the QSM for one final shift, dropping myself out of this reality and, consequently, its mouth. I hit the ground hard, as gravity still works on me, and am treated to the final death throes of the boss. It tosses and turns, slamming its head against the ground and the wall in an attempt to dislodge and clear its throat. As I get up to run, the mana battery in the QSM beeps empty, and it automatically kicks me back into normal reality. Without any additional mana, the changeover is harsh and pulls a scream from me as muscles, bones, and nerves are thrown across the dimensional barrier. I whimper, lying on the ground in pain, unable to move as the boss lashes out in a frenzy around me. A glancing blow from one of its legs sends me flying into a wall, and I black out, finally. I come to in blessed peace. Outside of the hiss of cooling stone and the drip of water, there is silence. Awake and without saber, I'm assaulted by the stench in the cavern. In its dying moments, the boss Fraxen voided its bowels, leaving a yellow-pink mixture all around that smells worse than two-week-old rotting meat and baby diapers. I heave and throw up, only managing to roll far enough to the side that only half of my vomit hits me. I whimper, the sudden movement setting off a pair of screaming toddlers in my head. Mana drained, physically wiped, and with only a touch of health left, I wonder where Saber is and why I'm unarmored, but mostly, I wonder when the pain will stop. Awake finally, eh? The voice cuts across my misery, gloating amusement in its tone. We'll rest 5 minutes, then we should get going. The Fraxen are still around in summer, beginning to come back. I open my eyes, blurry spots slowly resolving into Shadow Girl. I've really got to remember her name sometime. Next to her, Ali floats, casually admiring her booty. I'd say something, but I'm pretty sure she knows, and has either given up on correcting the incorporeal spirit, or just doesn't care. Next to the two is the split-open form of Saber. The mecha must have ejected me after its mana battery gave out.
You are insane, Boyle. Effective, but insane, Ali says, and I force a grin.
Had you worried? I try to push myself up and find myself failing to do so. I just relax as my body, aided by the regeneration potions I downed earlier, works on putting me together. Already, my body is repairing the damage.
I must concur with the spirit,
Veer adds from where he is seated, head resting on his arms. There's blood on his torso, and one arm looks pretty shredded. He smiles at me, though, probably to show he means no real disrespect. It looks creepy on the normally stern guard, and I wish he'd stop. That was not a tactic I would have considered.
No shit,
the woman says, eyes roving over the cavern. I tilt my head upward, noting that her status bar is still blank. Damn, but it's annoying not being able to read system data on her.
What exactly did you do anyway? Poison it?
She asks. I blink, then realize they would have no way to see into the monster's corpse. Blocked its airway. Choked it to death.
Huh.
Shadow Girl frowns. I see a slight shift in her body just before she disappears and closes in on the Fraxen that wandered back into the cavern. A moment later, she walks back to us, cleaning her blade. Behind her, the Fraxen screams and twitches, its legs on one side severed. It begins to froth from its mouth as the poison she used takes effect.
You good yet?
She asks. I glance at my bars and take stock of my own physical situation before I answer her. 5 minutes?
Fine.
While I recover, Ali fills me in on what happened after I blacked out. Seems like Shadow Girl popped over to my body and dragged me out of the way of the frenzied boss. Then she protected Veer and me from the remnants of the Fraxen guard while the boss died. It didn't take long, and she mopped up the group soon after. Since then, they've been waiting for me to wake up. I guess I owe the lady one. When they finish speaking, I read system notifications as a way to distract myself from the throbbing pain. Congratulations! Dungeon cleared. Plus 10,000 XP. First clear bonus. Having cleared the dungeon for the first time, you have been rewarded an additional plus 5,000 XP, plus 1,000 credits. Bonus for being the first explorer, plus 5,000 XP, plus 5,000 credits. Two Horn Mountain Dungeon classified as level 50 plus and above. System quest complete. Unlivic spores. Destroy the Unlivic spores that have infected the Fraxen in the Two Horn Mountain Dungeon. Rewards shared. 50,000 credits. 20,000 XP. Level up times 4. You have reached level 34 as an Eretran Honor Guard. Stat points automatically distributed. You have 12 free attribute points and 3 class skills to distribute. I blink, staring at the huge level gains. Between the completion bonus and the kill bonuses, I jumped up a heck of a lot of levels in one bite. I wish it had been earlier, but beggars and choosers and all that.
Next time you're on one of these jaunts, call me,
Shadow Girl says as I look up.
The experience was pretty damn good.
I snort and glance at Veer, who is looking significantly better now. He straightens, standing up and pulling a rifle from his inventory.
Shall we?
The journey back is a slow one, only manageable because the Fraxen are disorganized, damaged, and confused. The loss of the boss must have wiped out their central intelligence, removing any last remnants of organization. Shadow Girl, whose name I finally learn is Ingrid Starling, makes sure to kill any Fraxen we run into. Veer and I mostly offer verbal and moral encouragement. 2/3 of the way back, we finally run into our first rescue party. They have been setting up signal boosters along the way, which lets us contact everyone else and confirm that we're alive. The news on their end is less than stellar, and I find myself dragging my feet more than I need to as we return. Call me a coward, but I'd rather face another boss than what is coming. The air in the cavern is somber when we arrive. Individuals clustered in silent groups around fallen comrades. Low sobbing and grunting can be heard, while others carry their loss with fixed expressions, unable or unwilling to grieve yet. We won, but we didn't get out of this unscathed. The Hakarta lost 1/3 of their people, having borne the brunt of the attacks, while the Yerrik lost another pair. On our side, Jim's lost half of those he brought in. However, to me, all that pales beside the drawn, haggard face that is swarmed by huskies in an attempt at comfort. I walk over to Lana, gently pushing at the puppies to move them aside. My gut clenches, and I feel tears threaten to take over, but I push them aside, walling away my feelings. Not now. Not me. Lana is sobbing, clutching the unmoving body with a death grip, blood staining her clothing from the open wounds on his corpse. Rachel grips Jason's arm as they watch over the redhead, at a loss of words. Squatting beside her, I place a hand on her shoulder. Lana flinches slightly, but doesn't pull away. I feel a lump in my throat, blocking any words I could say. In the end, I just squat next to her, a hand on her shoulder, and wait. Damn it, Richard. Chapter 23. It takes a day or more to completely clear the dungeon. With mana pools and beam weapons recharged and the Fraxen no longer bunching up and coordinated, it's a simple matter for the teams to spread out and finish off the monsters. I stay behind, keeping watch over the camp and Lana, who has taken control of her brother's pets, replacing those she lost. The only pet of Richard's that survived, but she doesn't manage to get, is Aurel, who is long gone when we exit. Their job done, the Hakarta take off immediately with promises to get paid. Labashi shoots me a look when he leaves, which reminds me that I'm still indebted and under contract with him. In typical post-system fashion, the moment we get back to Whitehorse, we end up having to man the walls and fight off a monster swarm. Thankfully, it hits us from the airport side of town, so all we have to do is hunker down and kill. A few monsters try going down the cliffs, but they're simple enough to kill that it's more of a bother than a serious threat. We'll never know if a party was planned because, after the swarm, everyone pitches in on the cleanup. Even Bill, though I notice he spends about as much time looting as he does hauling. The fallout from the delve comes in small portions. Rachel left Whitehorse permanently, joining Jason and Carcross. Aiden has vowed to never leave the classroom again. There's even rumors that we might get another batch of immigrants soon from the system. When I find time to visit the shop, I sell the system-generated loot from my inventory. The central spore mass and the Fraxen plasma generators both bring in significant credits. I don't have the heart to go shopping right then, though. Once she calms down, Lana has me take Richard's body into my altered space to preserve it. A week after he died, we finally managed to make the trip to their old farm to bury him, his body set to rest beneath the remnants of their old house. Lana says little during the entire process, though I believe she finds comfort in Makito's and my presence. I watch her stand with her menagerie of pets, staring at her brother's grave, and my mind returns to the first night we got back to Whitehorse after the dungeon. She entered my room, distraught, and pushed me down, straddling me and laying fevered kisses on my face. I have to admit I returned them for a time before good sense came back to me and I pushed her away.
Why? Am I not good enough for you?
She was crying, clutching her open blouse closed. I recall the flash of pale, smooth flesh and the intoxicating scent of her.
No, but you're grieving. This... you aren't thinking right.
She slapped me then and left. Since then, there's been a wall between us. I don't know if I did the right thing, if I made the right choice. I want her. I care for her. But not like that. What she wanted and what she needed weren't the same thing. And if I took advantage of her at that time, perhaps it would have wrecked our relationship. Or at least changed it in a way that I don't want. Or maybe not. Maybe I was an idiot. I don't know if I did the right thing for her, for us, for our future. All I know is that it was the right choice for me at that time. Whatever happens, happens. Lana slowly steps away from the grave, which has already received a light dusting of snow. She turns toward us, nodding just once before she walks to the truck. Something in the way she moves, the way she looks at us, keeps us from bothering her. I stare one last time at the grave, just a plot of earth and a basic stone cross. My lips twist as I realize that this, a simple ceremony and a grave, is more than most on this planet have been offered. More than the majority of humanity has to indicate their passing. I close my eyes and whisper to Ali.
How many?
11.4%,
Ali answers, his voice as soft as mine. I nod dumbly.
Nearly 90% of humanity, countless millions, are dead.
I can't do anything for them. I can't even stop the ones who are still alive from dying. Can't stop the mass murder of millions by the system. We're not the only ones either. On all the planets of the system, more die every day. Our heroes are dead. The smart, the brave, the good lie in countless graves all over the world. I keep trying to be something I'm not, and I keep failing. I'm no hero. No Lancelot or Superman. I don't do this because it's the right thing to do or because I think there's an intrinsic value to human life. I do it because I can't let go. Because I can't seem to choose anything else. I do it because I have a sea of rage that never ends and I need an outlet, a place to point it. What is, is. No more walking away. No more hiding. The dead howl and cry. The lost and forgotten souls of the world weep. I'll light a pyre for them. For the ones who have died. For the ones who will die. And for the ones who will come into this blasted world. I'll light a fire so bright that they'll see it all the way in their damn council. And then, when I'm done, I'll burn their damn system to the ground. Ali floats back to me, staring at my face, and he inclines his head slightly. Yes. It's time to get back to work.
This has been Redeemer of the Dead, an apocalyptic lit RPG, The System Apocalypse, Volume 2, written by Dao Wong, narrated by Nick Podell. Copyright 2017 by Dao Wong. Production copyright 2018 by Dao Wong.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.